In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Good News Hour is with you once again, and your speaker is John Ahorn of Atchison, Kansas, and I want to read two very solemn portions of the Word of God. The first one is found in the last book of your Bible, namely the book of Revelation, and we shall read together at about verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat," and literally it should be his throne, "and the great authority." Now that's all we'll have occasion to read for the time being, and I should like to read now another passage that stands in sort of contrast to this one. It's the very next chapter, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1. This is God's answer to man's boasted wisdom and his display and array of power unparalleled in human history, and this, of course, is coming. We shall say more about that, though, presently. This is the answer of God, then. His answer is divine sarcasm. Chapter 14 and verse 1, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads." Now, if you ponder these two portions, and I'm sure you wouldn't have to look at them very closely to see that from a human standpoint, and if you had to make choice, for instance, of being on the one side or the other, and if you thought of self-preservation and protection, naturally, you would choose the former. That is to say, what we read in Revelation chapter 13, you would naturally take the side of the leopard and of the bear and of the nondescript that's spoken of just a little further on. Rather than to be on the side of the lamb in chapter 14 and verse 1, and I looked and lo, a lamb, and I understand in the original that this is a tiny lamb, stood on Mount Sinai. Now, you couldn't find a greater contrast within the lids of this precious holy book than what you have in the 13th chapter of Revelation and the 14th chapter of Revelation. We have in chapter 13 the display of almost indescribable power. And in the 14th chapter we have what would be the display of weakness, a tiny, tiny lamb in contrast to the leopard and to the bear and to the lion. However, all my hearers today must take sides. You see, if you take sides with what's brought forth in chapter 13, it would mean, of course, to you eternal doom and eternal destruction. If you take sides with the Lamb of God, then you're on the winning side. And you know, as regards our Lord Jesus Christ, instead of in the language of the poet, referring, of course, to Him, by meekness and defeat, He won the maiden crown. Trod all our foes beneath His feet by being trodden down. Now let's look at it a little more closely, if you will. I may say that in Revelation chapter 13, we will have the final display of the Roman Empire, that is in its revived state, at the end of time. And it's very interesting to notice, too, how it rises into being or into power. Of course, it's a revival. That's very clearly set forth in other portions of the Word of God. You see, Gentile world power began with Nebuchadnezzar. He was the first monarch that sat upon the throne. And the Babylonian power was followed by the Medo-Persian, and then the Grecian, and finally the Roman Empire. And of course the Roman Empire was broken up. It didn't exactly cease to exist, but it was finally broken up some hundreds and hundreds of years ago. However, it is coming back into power once again, and it will rise, as we have seen so clearly indicated in this first verse. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And of course that speaks of unrest and of turbulence too. For instance, if you go back to the prophecy of Isaiah, the prophet there says, the wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest, whose waters cast forth mire and dirt. And I need hardly point out to you that there was never a day in human history, from Adam down to the present moment, when there was as much unrest as there is at the present time. Turbulence, distress of nations everywhere. In fact, it's expressed such in the Gospel by St. Luke, as I recall it, chapter 21 and perhaps verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Now notice this, the sea and the waves roaring. You see, quite frequently in the Word of God, men and nations are spoken of as troubled waters, and out of the troubled waters will come what we have been reading to you about in the 13th chapter of Revelation. And then another thing I should like to point out to you, that in this 13th chapter of Revelation, because this is the final display of human power directed by a sinister force under the control of Satan. Satan, for the time being, gives over his throne to this political power, and then, of course, in turn to the Antichrist. And if you want to take the pains to read this chapter through carefully, and I would advise you to do so, you will come across that word power some seven times. You would find it, for instance, in verse 2 where we read, and the dragon, that is to say the devil, gave him, that is the political power, political beast, his power and his throne and great authority. And then if you go down to verse 4, it says, they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And if you go down to verse 5, it says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And you'd find it once again in verse 7, and also in verse 12, and verse 14, and in verse 15. In other words, a power is rising, and this power and the influence will be felt from the one end of the world to the other. Yes, in fact, encircling the entire globe. Power, power, power. That's what men dream of. That's what men crave more than anything in this wide, wide world. Power. And there is indeed the race for power. Power and for supremacy. And of course, it's going to be headed up by the first political beast, the political beast, and then followed by the Antichrist under the direction of Satan, or the dragon. But we'd like to have now just a little good news to you and for you, and we'd like to be able to tell you that the greatest power that this world has ever seen is the power that is brought to us via the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, our apostle, says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Believeth, and it is from that word, the root word, that we get our word, dynamite. The gospel is the dynamite of God, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And listen, if you were to bow your heart today to the blessed Son of God, that one who's now despised and rejected and by the world disowned, if you were to embrace him in that heart of yours, then we're happy to tell you that you would be taking sides with the Lamb. For you see, our Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of in the Scriptures after that fashion again and again. He's seen, for instance, in the Old Testament pictured in the little Paschal Lamb, and he's seen in the 53rd of Isaiah, to as a lamb led to the slaughter, and the sheep without before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The Lamb of God's providing. And we want all our hearers to know that while it is true, the display of satanic power is soon going to be in evidence, as it has never been seen and never been known in world history, we want you to know that you can be on the side of the Lamb and safe and secure forever. You wouldn't need to fear then coming power. You wouldn't need to fear the display of the enemy who's seeking to get all under his control. And we'd like to urge all our hearers today to take sides with the Lamb. You accept the Lamb in sacrifice. Receive him into a good and into an honest heart. Trust him as the one that died for the guilty, the one that died for the lost. Trust him as the one who satisfied the claims of God in the fullest possible way, and salvation would be yours. Salvation would be yours at this very moment. Oh, let me ask you today, on whose side are you? Why not do as dear Joshua did long, long ago? He could say, as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. You take sides with the Lord Jesus. Whatever others may do, you receive him today as your own personal Savior, and you will not need to fear the terrific judgments that will soon be poured out upon a Christless world for rejecting the Son of God. Receiving today in salvation is yours. Now, we'd like to hear from you, and if you want further spiritual help, drop us a line to the following address, Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas, and may God bless you is our prayer.